A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Master, tell my brother to give me a share in our inheritance." "My friend," he replied, "who appointed me to be your judge or the arbitrator of your claims?" Then he said to them, "Watch and be on your guard against avarice of any kind, for a man's life is not made secure by what he owns, even when he has more than he needs." Then he told a parable. There was once a rich man who, having had a good harvest from his land, thought to himself, "What am I to do? I have not enough room to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and store all my grain and my goods in them. And I will say to my soul, you have plenty of good things laid by for many years to come. Take things easy, eat, drink, have a good time." But God said this, "Fool, this very night the demand will be made for your soul, and this hoard of yours, whose will it be then?" So it is when a man stores treasure for himself in place of making himself rich in the sight of God. It was not an uncommon practice at that time for people to take unresolved disputes to the more respected rabbis, hence this request by one of the crowd following Jesus. When started to reflect on this preaching, I inadvertently started reading and thinking about the wrong gospel verses. I found I was reading the verses of the gospel on the calling of Matthew, he who gave up everything to follow Christ. And being a tax collector, he must have been a rich man whose aim in this life was to accrue as much as possible in worldly goods. Yet, when he received the call from Jesus, he upped sticks and went rejoicing, leaving all his worldly possessions, giving his friends and fellow extortionists a great banquet to celebrate. He did not stop to think about leaving a will. In the second reading today, Paul exhorts us to turn our thoughts to heavenly things, not on the things that belong only to the life on earth. "Because you have died, and now the life you have is hidden with Christ in God." He goes on to list the things that belong only to earthly life, and ends by greed, which he says is the same as worshipping a false god. Jesus did not say that the man in question was wrong in asking for what he considered his right, his inheritance. We do not know the circumstances that brought about his plea to Jesus, such as the man's needs and those of his family. Then again in Ecclesiastes we read today, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. For so it is that a man who has labored wisely, skillfully, and successfully must leave what is his own to someone who has not toiled for it at all," etc. Luke is telling us that undue striving for the future can lead us away from God and the kingdom. It has been said elsewhere, the question then at issue is when a proper concern has become an improper anxiety. The rich man in today's gospel story is incredibly self-centered. The story is full of I's and my's and me. So obviously all he is concerned about is his own future comfort and well-being. He says, like that of the poor, he cries, "What am I to do? I have so much." The poor cry, "What shall I do? I have so little." The problem is that if there is no one poorer than ourselves, how can we give alms to the needy? The rich man says, in effect, "Who do I wrong by keeping what is my own?" He forgets that the fruit of his land are primarily a gift from God, a God provides, but our work is to distribute the fruits. A good person is recognized by virtues such as chastity, humility, and generosity. whereas an evil man by his evil ways, greed, covetousness. One can choose voluntary poverty for the sake of our soul, but that is a very different matter from involuntary poverty. The first can lead to wisdom and holiness. The latter can lead to blasphemy when we blame God for our condition. Riches and also poverty can mean different things to different people. It depends on one's previous experiences and circumstances. The man in the parable chooses to rely on living a luxurious life now and in the future, not thinking of those in need, forgetting that he may not have a life. He will face his maker to be asked, what gifts is he bringing earned in this world? What gifts can he present to his maker? Charity, humility, and hope. The future in these days appears to be the most important thing considered, not today. Of course, we all have to consider and plan for the future, but planning and considering the future in this life is not the most important function, because there may not be a future. The important time is the now. The now, we can change it before it becomes the past. The past is too late, and the future does not exist necessarily. Prudence is a virtue, we are told, so we have to be prudent in planning the future, but not at the expense of the present. The trick is to know where prudence ends and avarice starts. Some people have been disinherited because of their faith. It's not always the fact that they are cut out of any will that is the problem. Usually, the uppermost feeling is that of rejection. They have followed their conscience and not the money bags, which means that their reward will be eternal and not something that will be forgotten or destroyed. This is storing up things in heaven, which will not only be never be lost, but will gain a hundredfold. You gain, as Jesus says, treasure that will never fail, and where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What Jesus is not saying is that a man should live a reckless life, but he is saying that we should do our best as far as we can, and he will look after the rest. And in whose hands would we prefer to leave our future, our own or his?